Ones. 3, Praise and Worship CDs, now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Our major topic for today's World Affairs Brief is on the new push for disarmament, the missile defense switch from installing one in Europe to taking it out signals a new disarmament race to war. This week, Obama scrapped the Bush-era proposal to build an anti-ballistic missile system in Poland, along with its corresponding search and tracking radar in the Czech Republic, which was supposedly designed to protect against a rogue missile attack from Iran. But getting Obama to dump the ABM system was a top priority for Russia, which always knew that the Iran threat was an excuse to justify placing a system close to Russia, capable of intercepting Russian missiles in their upward boost phase. Now, this is where U.S. interceptors would be most effective, having no warhead. And a lot of Americans don't realize that. Instead of course, trying to knock down incoming Russian missiles traveling at hyper speeds over the target area. Now, that's a recipe for failure, especially if Russian claims about maneuvering warheads are true. And the sudden backing down from directly confronting Russia appears to be part of a new and massive disarmament campaign as heralded by Obama in his speech to the UN, something the West always seems to revert to prior to sinking into a new world war. It happened in World War II. It happened prior to the Korean War. It's happening now. This week, I'll analyze why all such disarmament measures without actual and verifiable Russian and Chinese reductions, and we mustn't, you know, forget the Chinese. It doesn't do any good to have disarmament with Russia if, in fact, the whole world is held hostage to a huge Chinese missile arsenal, which they are building as we speak. Barack Obama has demanded the Pentagon conduct a radical review of U.S. nuclear weapons doctrine in preparation for deep cuts in our nuclear arsenal. Now, this is the same thing President Bill Clinton ordered in 1996. It happens under Democrats. That led to the secret issuance of PDD-60, completely changing the Reagan-era nuclear doctrine designed to win a nuclear war with Russia. PDD-60 is still on the books. It's still secret, but a few public statements issued in late 1997 by Clinton disarmament advisor Robert Bell and Craig Cerniello of Arms Control Today, he was part of the drafting and review process, so he should know, indicated that the Presidential Decision Directive 60 instructed U.S. missile commanders to, quote, not to depend on launch on morning. Now, that's a tactic of launching all fixed silo missiles at the enemy before opponents' first strike missiles can land and destroy ours. In essence, this PDD directed our country to absorb a nuclear first strike and retaliate later. And a frustrated Marine General, Butch Neal, exclaimed, "Retaliate with what?" He knew, as did other commanders of our Trident nuclear submarines, that Clinton had unilaterally agreed to keep half of our submarine-launched ballistic missiles in port at any one time to assure our Russian friends that we are not a threat. How nice. And when you telegraph a subtle message or not so subtle message to the Russians that we're going to absorb a nuclear first strike, you induce them to make sure that they hit us with everything they can on the first strike to make sure that there's nothing left to retaliate. PDD-60 also removes the alternate submarine launch codes so that our subs cannot fire without direct communications with the president. Those vital communication links will assuredly not survive a massive first strike, even if they did. I mean, you have anti-satellite weapons that both China and Russia have. You have long-wave frequencies that can travel in the Earth's core, and those have antennas that are miles long. Those are easily interdicted by military strikes, and the Russians know where they are. Even if the communications link survived, it's probable, given what we know, that the president would simply not issue the order to launch until a first strike had landed. Now, this is not deterrence. This is suicide, or a very carefully planned agenda to make the U.S. vulnerable. Now, the big question is, why would U.S. leaders do this? It is designed, I believe, to drive Americans into a new world order that has military power over member nations, something no amount of public manipulation in past decades has been able to do. When our leaders come out of their bunkers, and believe me, they're building huge bunkers as we speak in the Washington, D.C. area, they will declare that, quote, the Russians and Chinese deceived us, and now that our military forces are mostly destroyed, we have no choice but to enter into a military alliance with the U.N. to save us. And stupid Americans, especially, Republican-oriented conservatives, will jump on this patriotic bandwagon as if this is a new World War III and support our government in that. Now, this is all too similar to the Clinton era of nuclear change. The impetus to change U.S. strategic nuclear doctrine came on the heels of President Clinton's demand to the Joint Chiefs in early 1996 that they prepare to unilaterally reduce America's nuclear warhead deployment from 2,000 to 2,500 warheads in eager anticipation of the ratification of START II, which is yet to be ratified by the Russian Duma.
All right, Joel, well, we hear the music, and you just hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Your family deserves wholesome organic food, and you shouldn't have to drive across town or spend all of your hard-earned cash to get it. Door-to-Door Organics brings you fresh organic fruits, vegetables, and groceries delivered straight to your door at a price you can afford. It's simple, convenient, affordable, and healthy. For delivery throughout Colorado, Michigan, the East Coast, and Kansas City, go to DoorToDoorOrganics.com. For $5 off your first order, use the coupon code 1360. That's DoorToDoorOrganics.com. Eat better, shop less.
You're on the jury. The defendant is a doctor accused of mercy killing. The judge's instruction, you must find the doctor guilty if you find he caused the patient's death. Do you? The answer will surprise you. Back in a minute.
Discover America's truth. Citizen power creates freedom. Send for Hal von Lupert's Citizen Power series, Citizen Arrest, The Grand Jury, and Guerrilla Law, $27. Greeley, Colorado, P.O. Box 837, Citizen Power.
The judge tells the jury that it must obey the law. It does, but the jury is the law. In point of historical fact, the charging of the jury is nothing more than jury tampering by the state. The jury may decide the defendant's guilt by any standard, even that it dislikes the law. That's how the Founding Fathers wanted it. In the United States, the jury has the final word, and there's nothing the court can do.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, and Joel's talking about America's absent defenses. Now, it's very difficult for the average American to realize that our leaders have unilaterally destroyed a very effective anti-ballistic missile system. We had one back in the 1970s. Even though it didn't have nuclear warheads on it, maybe it did have nuclear warheads, I'm not certain, but we had that effective anti-ballistic missile system. We spent billions of dollars to produce it, and then it was systematically destroyed. We had no effective anti-ballistic missile system until George Bush came in, and he built six anti-ballistic missiles to, of course, try to ward off the thousands of nuclear warheads the Russians have. Now, perhaps you are smart enough to understand how six anti-ballistic missiles would be able to shoot down thousands of incoming missiles when none of our warheads have nuclear tips on them, and they have to actually, it's like a bullet hitting a bullet, you know, in outer space. There's just no way it's going to work or work effectively, even though they keep telling us, oh, this is really wonderful, these work, they're consistently. But they're not consistent at all. There's just no way they're effective deterrent. And now our leaders are in the process of encouraging unilateral disarmament. Why? And, of course, Joel has a theory. It may well be exactly what's going on. Under no all considerations, however, America is totally vulnerable to a nuclear strike. So pick up the story there, Joel.
Well, we're talking about the dismantling of the nuclear doctrine established during the Reagan administration that directing our military forces to prepare to win a nuclear war with Russia. And, of course, disarmament people, you know, claim that that's preposterous. No one can win, but that certainly isn't true. The Russians are fully attempting to win a nuclear war. That's why they're building huge underground bunkers in the Ural Mountains, Yamantau Mountain, which is a complex estimated to be the size of Washington, D.C., metro area underground. They claim it's a mining complex, but they won't let any of our inspectors into it, so it obviously has to be something else. And you don't ever see in the satellite photos mining cars going into this complex once that the excavation had occurred. They're all huge box cars taking in, you know, equipment, factories. It's estimated by private sources like myself that they're building whole biological, chemical, nuclear factories underground and stockpiling weapons underground that can survive a nuclear war. General John Shalikashvili, chairman of the Joint Chiefs at the time of Clinton, responded to Clinton's demand for disarmament that he couldn't comply since the U.S. military was still operating under a former presidential decision directive of 1981 by Reagan to prepare to win a protracted nuclear war. And so, Clinton directed his people to devise a new doctrine. And that new doctrine is just suicidal. In essence, it says that you will, not rely on launch and warn, and not rely on that kind of preemptive response to a first strike. In fact, the one who launches second actually gains the most in a launch on warning scenario. Because while Russia's missiles or China's missiles may be en route, takes 15 to 30 minutes to arrive at the target area, you can unload all of the targets those missiles have and get those missiles into the air and retarget on the fly so that you can target their facilities that are still intact. You certainly wouldn't waste any missiles on their silos or their missiles that are in flight. So you retarget, and we have the capability of doing that. But if you sit there and absorb the nuclear strike, you lose everything. And we say, well, what about the thousands of nuclear warheads we have on board our third leg of the strategic triad, the nuclear submarines? Well, as I said, a lot of people don't realize that Clinton agreed unilaterally to keep half our submarines in port to make sure that the Russians would be assured that we were vulnerable. I mean, he openly said that. You know, it's interesting that when I went back to do an internet search, that all of those statements by Clinton had been scrubbed from the search engines. You can't find them anymore. It's just incredible. It's almost as if they want that, and yet you can go look at the military sites and they say, you know, our standard policy now is to keep, is still to keep half of our submarines in port at any one time. But all of the actual statements by Clinton bragging about what he was going to do to assure the Russians have been removed. I mean, this is real control of the media. Now, certainly the apparent collapse of the Soviet Union is the linchpin of every argument pointing towards the relaxation of Western vigilance and accelerated disarmament. And it still is. Indeed, it's the driving argument that's trumpeted constantly before Congress ever since the fall of the Soviet Union. We don't need all this stuff. U.S. military leaders and the American people have been duped. Almost everyone bought into it, even most conservatives who should have known better, should have been suspicious that bought into it. The most savvy of the non-establishment Soviet watchers can point to a host of evidence indicating the so-called collapse was engineered to disarm the West and garner billions in direct aid to Russia while inducing the West to take over the economic burden of the former satellite states. For one, there was the phony Gorbachev coup that failed and was so patently contrived and parroted by the Western media that they had to be covering for this Keystone Cop affair. Then the heads of the KGB, GRU, and defense ministries supposedly had to flee into hiding. Well, if they were the real heads of these feared organs of state power, who were they fleeing from? The West never asked. Then there's the statement of Erich Honecker, former head of the German DDR, who stated before his death in Chile that he was instructed by Moscow to step down and allow the student protest in Leipzig to go forward without Stasi interference. Romania's dictator, Nicolae Ceausescu, said he got the same orders to step down, but refused. He had to be forcibly removed by another phony coup made to look like an uprising of anti-communists, which it was not. But the most ominous evidence is found in defectors from Russia who tell the same story. The whole fall of communism was planned years in advance to gain Western financial and military assistance, all the while snookering the West into treating Russia as a new ally. The whole charade of Russian oligarchs pretending, in some pretended opposition to the super patriot Vladimir Putin is part of this sophisticated game. Virtually all significant opposition parties are controlled by forces loyal to Putin. So while Russia feigns weakness in the private economic sector, its underground military industrial complex is humming along at full speed, deploying top-of-the-line new biological, chemical, and nuclear weapon systems in secret, all aimed at taking down the U.S. military in one huge decapitating military strike. That
Joe,
is my
you
warning
brought up
to
a point yesterday I thought that was so important, and that is people say, but, you know, we have the submarine nuclear deterrent. They can, even if cut off from Washington, D.C., you know, go ahead and launch in retaliation, so the Russians would never do this. But you made a point, a very effective point, that the submarines cannot launch in retaliation if America is under attack and has been destroyed. What was that point, and why is that so effective?
Well, the point is that the alternate launch codes that used to be in the hands of commanders, should they be under attack and not be able to communicate with the president, have been removed, so that virtually no attack can occur. And so while military people assure me that they have no such orders to absorb a nuclear first strike, I said, well, it doesn't really make any difference. You just can't launch unless the president tells you. If he decides that we're going to absorb a nuclear first strike, he's not going to give you authorization to launch. And they have to admit that I'm right. There simply is no alternative code, even under attack, to launch those missiles. And even there's a lot of disinformation about Russia's no longer targeting us and we're no longer targeting them. You know, that's a meaningless thing. Even the disarmament people understand that. These things can be, you know, all of these launch codes and directions, satellite-based, GPS-based, many other things, are already pre-programmed. All they have to do is punch a couple of buttons, and it's instantly changed. I mean, this is just ludicrous to say we're not. I mean, who would know? When you go out and exercise with these submarines, you practice punching in different launch codes for different cities and different military targets. They practice having simulated satellite information coming saying this is a new target, switch codes to this. I mean, this thing happens in a matter of seconds. So American assurances that we're not being targeted anymore are just not worth the paper they're written on or the voice of the leaders who are lying to us.
And they are intentionally and purposely and maliciously leaving America open for destruction, and they're letting the Russians and the Chinese know that. Go right ahead.
Well, you know, Dr. Sand, this is something that even conservative Americans cannot fathom. They simply have too much trust in humanity. They simply cannot believe that our own leaders would betray us in this manner. And I don't know of any way to convince them. If they can't sense in their own conscience that something is really wrong here, that these are really evil men, that they are blown away by the apparent sincerity of Obama, the apparent sincerity of George Bush, that these men are utterly lying to people. You know, there was nothing more indicative of this than Obama's appearance on ABC's this week. He was asked by host George Stephanopoulos, a crony from the Clinton administration. I'm no fan of Stephanopoulos. But, boy, he tried to pin Obama to the wall on this issue of the individual mandate in health care. I'm pointing this out relative to this to prove the fact that we have chronic liars as presidents. He said, under Max Baucus, the Senate bill that you support, Mr. Obama, everyone would be required to buy health insurance or pay a penalty as high as $3,800 a year, administered as a tax increase by the IRS. How is that not a tax? You claim there's no tax increase. And he says, well, hold on a second, George. Here's what's happening. You and I are both paying $900 on average, our families, in higher premiums because of uncompensated care. This is not true. Insurance companies don't pay for non-uncompensated care. The bills for illegals are paid by hospitals themselves under a mandate from Congress, forcing some of them even to go out of business in California. Some of the cost of seniors who can't pay is absorbed by Medicare, but it's not absorbed by the insurance company. So your premiums don't go up $900. Then Obama continues. Now, what I've said is that if you can't afford health insurance, you shouldn't be punished for that. Of course, he's implying that if you can't afford it, you should be punished for not wanting it, even if it doesn't pay for the type of care you want. He says that's just piling on. If, on the other hand, we're giving tax credits, we've set up an exchange. The exchange, of course, is not really to get lower prices, but to force all companies into a regulatory net. You are now part of the big pool, he says. We've driven down costs. Now, that won't happen. Can't happen. He says we've done everything we can, and you can actually afford health insurance. And you've just decided, you know, I want to take my chances. You know, this is just an evil, weaselly argument. It's not just a matter of chance. Those of us who live very healthy, I don't have health insurance. My family has never had health insurance for two decades. And because of the fact that we are at risk, we take extra precautions every single day to live healthily. We don't eat junk food. We don't eat a lot of sugar, hardly at all. We eat lots of fresh vegetables, organic vegetables, raw things. And we have lived healthy. We don't need their system. We don't want their drugs. I haven't been to a doctor for decades, and neither have my children. And then he says, of course, and this is always the point, well, you could get hit by a bus, and then you and I would have to pay the emergency room costs. No, that's not true either. We have the option of paying out of our own pocket. Haven't they ever heard of self-insurance? Or, more likely, the bus insurance company pays as they should if it were their fault. But going back to Mr. Stephanopoulos, he says, all that may be, but it's still a tax increase, President. In fact, he pointed out, or the Wall Street Journal who quoted this says, in fact, uncompensated care amounts to only 2.2% of national health care spending. Mr. Bonbon says, no, that's not true, George. He says, for us to say that you've got to take responsibility to get health insurance is absolutely not a tax increase. What it's saying is that you're not going to have other people carrying your burdens on you. Well, you know, that's the government's choice by force to pay for other people's health and or health costs, not mine. I've never been a burden to the system.
We'll be back in just a moment here, but ladies and gentlemen, I mean, it doesn't matter how much you insist a lie is not a lie. A lie is a lie, and the president is a liar.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
This is George Flynn of SelfDefenseGuns.com. Our concealed carry classes meet the training requirements to obtain a Colorado or Wyoming concealed carry permit, as well as non-resident Utah and Florida. We feel very strongly that ladies should exercise their right to carry and protect themselves and their loved ones. That's why our Annie Oakley special allows any student to bring a lady to our classes for free. Visit SelfDefenseGuns.com or call 970-622-2091. That's 970-622-2091.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. Paint Your Wagon reminds parents in our listening area that over the summer, children who are out of school shouldn't be out of luck, hope, or guidance. For many troubled youth, the first step towards drugs and crime is having nothing better to do. Take your kids to the beach, park, or family center. It's the best weapon against delinquency, crime, and drug abuse. This message was sponsored by Paint Your Wagon, totally dedicated to the care and enrichment of our area seniors. For more information regarding programs and admissions, call 823-5390. That's 823-5390. That's Paint Your Wagon in Lyons, where they're always working for our seniors.
Well, I stand here, our guest this morning is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And before we go on, Joel, would you like to tell our listeners how they could possibly get a copy of the World Affairs Brief and in the hopes that they would want to go ahead and subscribe to it?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. The World Affairs Brief is a subscription service that helps pay for all of my efforts in putting together this information each week for people. It's only $16 for the rest of the year. If people want a sample copy to see if they'd like to subscribe, they can email me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. And if they forget how to do that, they can simply go to the website, worldaffairsbrief.com, and it tells them how to do that right on the front page.
I look forward to it every week when it comes out. And of course, the website, worldaffairsbrief.com, is a place you should be checking every day to keep abreast of what's really going on. All right, Joel, go ahead and pick up the story.
Well, we're talking about Obama's egregious claim that nothing he does is ever a tax increase. As long as it's for the good of your own good, then it's not a tax increase. He says, in other words, like parents talking to the children, this levy, don't call it a tax, is good for is for your own good. Mr. Stephanopoulos tried again. He said, but it may be fair, it may be good policy, which it isn't, but he's giving that to him. He says, but, and then Obama abrupts it, he says, no, but George, you just can't make up that language and decide to call it a tax increase. Well, who's changing the language? It's Obama. It's not George Stephanopoulos. It's Obama who's trying to say a sheep isn't a sheep, a goat isn't a goat. You know, a tax increase isn't a tax increase unless I say so. He says, I don't think I'm making it up. Stephanopoulos then had the temerity to challenge the philosopher-in-chief with an assist from Merriam-Webster Dictionary. He said, a tax is a charge, usually of money, imposed by authority on persons or property for public purposes. Obama says, I absolutely reject that notion. Then the Wall Street Journal says, now if you can follow this reasoning, then you can probably also think that a new entitlement is the best way to reduce entitlement spending. The Congressional Budget Office estimates the Senate's individual mandate will result in new revenues of some $20 billion over 10 years because some people will choose to opt out of Obamacare and have to pay the tax. If that $20 billion doesn't count as tax revenue, what is it, he says, or the journal says? And for what that matter, what doesn't count as a non-tax under Mr. Obama's definition? All taxes can be justified in the name of providing some type of service, however wasteful. This real problem is that the individual mandate is a tax, but the president doesn't want voters to think of it that way because taxes are unpopular. And my response is, and that is why all of this will eventually be paid for by deficit spending to avoid the appearance of a tax. Well, the penchant for lying taints the public's confidence in health care reform. It's no wonder, according to Business Daily, that 45% of doctors would consider quitting if Congress passes its health care bill. Collectivism always creates shortages, and there will be a shortage of doctors. Why should they continue to work in a system that's going to give them much less compensation and make them the boogeyman and blame them for the shortages that will essentially occur? They're going to get out of the business. I think anyone close to retirement age is going to quit, Dr. Stan, and there's going to be shortages.
I think so, too, and that's one reason I got out of medicine 15 years ago. I could see this coming. But, you know, your comment on the interchange between the president and George Stephanopoulos when President Obama said that he rejected the Webster, dictionary definition of a tax, it is so reminiscent of Bill Clinton's remarks when he was before Congressional Investigating Committee and asked about his relationship, whether he had this relationship with Monica Lewinsky, and his comment, well, it depends what the definition of is. And, of course, Obama is saying it's the best definition of what you say a tax is, and I reject your definition of a tax increase. Go right ahead.
Well, moving on to another subject, Afghanistan is poised to get a huge boost in funding and manpower. There's going to be a major upswing in this war. It's going to become another Iraq. The Republicans would be smart if they'd let this become a Democrats' war. But the Democrats, of course, playing reluctant here, knowing that they don't want to get blamed for this. Republicans are being set up to push for vigorous military action while the Democrats are playing hard to get.
And what the Republicans should be saying is, look, we shouldn't have gone in the first place. Let's cut our losses and get out. Why are we fighting in Afghanistan? I mean, did Afghanistan attack the United States? No. There were 15 of the 19 terrorists, if we want to believe the official story, 15 of the 19 terrorists that attacked the World Trade Center were Saudi Arabians. So why did we go to war with Afghanistan? If you read the 9/11 Commission staff report, they will tell you Al-Qaeda did not want to attack the United States. All of the Al-Qaeda leaders said, we do not want to attack the United States. The only one, of course, who did was Osama bin Laden, who had been to school in the United States, whose family was very close to the Bush family. And of course, it was Osama bin Laden, who'd been to school in the United States, whose family was very close to the Bush CIA during the Afghan War. Bin Laden was there directing the Mujahideen, who were being recruited by the CIA, and the CIA is never going to come forward and say, yeah, we were working closely with Osama bin Laden. But of course they were working with bin Laden. Bin Laden is the only person who supposedly wanted, of course, to attack the United States. So why are we fighting in Afghanistan? That is the question. Well, the Taliban are nasty people, yes, but everybody's forgotten. Even George Bush, in his speech given on the 20th September of 2001, just 9 days after the 9/11 attack, commented that the United States had been the largest supply of humanitarian aid for Afghanistan for many years, and the humanitarian aid to Afghanistan was financing of the Taliban. We financed the Taliban, and now we're killing the Taliban. Something's wrong with this scenario.
Well, we gave $25 million to supposedly eradicate the heroin trade in the year before we attacked there, and yet the heroin trade is protected now by the U.S. occupation forces. I mean, you can't tell me that if you didn't want to get rid of heroin, you couldn't go down there with bulldozers and just bulldoze all the fields and stop it. And, of course, they're not doing that. They're protected. Even the infiltration and exfiltration sites for the smugglers of heroin to other points in the world are protected by no fire zones from U.S. troops and things. And, of course, the major drug lords within Afghanistan are very much tied to Hamid Karzai, the president, the puppet president the U.S. has put in there. Karzai's brother is one of the major drug lords. In fact, a lot of that money that finances the Karzai's political campaign comes from drug money. So this is all a sham, all of the reasons why we're in Afghanistan. But, you know, Republicans can be manipulated into almost anything as long as it's perceived to be against what the Democrats are for.
We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen. And it's a shame we have a one-party system with two branches, the Republic branch. We'll be right back.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
You may not plant a 250,000 acres every season or tend 50,000 head of cattle, but it's good to know that your equipment could. From farming and cattle handling to goat and equine management, Charter Equipment is used, trusted, and built by pros using more than 60 years of know-how, which is just one of the reasons we are the official provider of equine and livestock management equipment for the World Equestrian Games. To find a farm and ranch store near you, visit tartargate.com. Tartar, working harder since 1945.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
The Brush Housing Authority in Brush reminds listeners to spend more time with an elderly member of our community. What better way to show you care than to remember a family member, friend, or neighbor? Checking on their welfare, making a phone call, or a simple visit can make all the difference in the quality of their life. This message was courtesy of the folks who care at Brush Housing Authority, who say our area is a great place to live, work, and raise our families, and they're doing their part to keep it that way. That's the Brush Housing Authority. For more information on programs, call 970-482-5046. 970-482-5046.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here for the last segment of our program. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, there's kind of a backhanded way to get Republicans to back more resources in Afghanistan. If they were smart, they would let the Democrats push this war so that when it turns bad, that they can get the blame for it. They're falling into the trap, and it's being set by the leaking of a military assessment of Afghanistan by General McChrystal, who's the top commander of the U.S. in Afghanistan. Naturally, the insider-connected Washington Post got a copy of the leak. They say the top U.S. and NATO commander in Afghanistan warns in an urgent confidential assessment of the war that he needs more forces within the next year, and bluntly states that without them, the eight-year conflict will likely result in failure. He says failure to gain the initiative and reverse insurgent momentum in the near term, while Afghanistan's security capacity matures, risk an outcome where defeating the insurgency is no longer possible. And that's just a matter of time. He repeatedly warns that without more forces and the rapid implementation of a genuine counterinsurgency strategy, defeat is likely. Well, let me tell you something. As a former military officer in the Marines who dealt with those same counterinsurgency forces in Vietnam, they're doomed to failure anyway. They simply don't work. And so this is something that is not even going to be capable of having the appearance of success as in Iraq, because Afghanistan is a totally different country than Iraq, much more backward, much more tribal, much more used to fighting insurgencies and occupation people, and there's no country that's ever dominated that country for long. It simply saps the economy of any, England for decades that was in Afghanistan, the Russians, the United States. Nobody has succeeded in taming that country. And the U.S. really isn't even trying. Is an opium-run country, and the U.S. is a party to that. McChrystal describes an Afghan government riddled with corruption, just like Iraq, and an international force undermined by tactics that alienate civilians. And that's right, and those tactics are still continuing. The tactics mean we're going to fight an insurgency without putting troops in at risk on a regular basis in hand-to-hand or rifle-to-rifle combat with these people. And so one of the problems is that you call in airstrikes anytime you have some overwhelming opposition, or even, it's not overwhelming, but even significant opposition. You call in airstrikes and you obliterate two or three houses in town and you have lots of civilian casualties because you're not willing to subject the troops to the house-to-house fighting that's necessary to avoid civilian casualties. And then you transport everybody in helicopters. Nobody wants to ride a truck in Afghanistan. So fearful are they of the suicide bombers and the roadside improvised bombs. And now you have a problem, as Newsweek says, that there's not enough helicopters to go around. And it's even worse, Dr. Stan. As Mark Hosenball of Newsweek wrote, some U.S. special forces in Afghanistan and Pakistan may be at higher risk of usual injury and death because the Pentagon has not equipped their units with enough helicopters. And the problem is, and this is the interesting thing, is that roughly 800 Green Berets in the Afghanistan-Pakistan theater are engaged in what is known as white missions. Those are the obvious PR, counterinsurgency missions of recruiting and training local anti-terrorist militias. And they only have 3 Chinook helicopters. Those are the heavy lift helicopters to transport them around the country in combat zones infested with snipers and roadside bombs. By contrast, there are thousands of Green Berets assigned to Black Ops, commanding units hunting what they claim high-value terrorist targets. Actually, they're doing illegal dark side operations. And are much more generously equipped, the white forces assigned to vital but unglamorous counterinsurgency missions, he says, are the Pentagon's bastard stepchildren. The helicopter shortage is so acute for them, say 3 officials, that they don't even request them anymore because they're rejected 80% of the time. Commanders no longer bother asking. So you see, this is much, much more complex. This is not about winning the war. This is about secret missions done by Green. And I'll tell you, they're many times supplying the opposition. I mean, there are terrorists that are run by the CIA, and they get carried around in some of those helicopters. I mean, this is an insidious war, and I'll be very frank. You know, you quoted things about Osama bin Laden and the terrorists who were supposedly the hijackers. None of the hijackers are the same one that the government has on the list. Terrorists don't use their own names. They don't use credit cards to buy tickets on an airplane. This is a front. This was a government operation to A to Z. Sure, there were terrorists, and we don't know really who their real names are, because at least a third of the named terrorists are still alive, did not die in the events, were not participants, and so these names are phony that the government has.
And they, you know, I've never understood how all those people who died in those airplanes are alive and well over in the Middle East. At least six of them, perhaps more, of the 19 hijackers are alive and well. And the government has never explained that to me, but then I guess I don't understand the meaning of the word is or how, you know, a tax increase is not a tax increase because the president says it is an increase. It's about time the American people began to ask questions. How could six of those hijackers still be alive? Doesn't that disturb anybody out there? Go right ahead, Joel.
Yeah, and even FBI Director Mueller has admitted that the list is not accurate, and yet he has not responded to any calls to produce an adjusted list of that. I mean, but all of these so-called hijackers, they weren't the real hijackers, showed up in the FBI computers, and they were supposedly carousing, you know, the night before, et cetera. You know, these were not jihadists of a Muslim nature. True terrorists do not leave, you know, copies of the Quran and tape recordings and flight manuals in vehicles in the airport. They take taxis to the airport and they pay in cash. And this is just a trumped up a charade that government special forces put on. And, you know, it's very, very sad that we're dealing with these things. But, you know, one can hardly bring this up in any major news media without being shouted down as conspiracy theorists. But it's amazing, Dr. Stan, of how many people I think our efforts are paying off. I mean, if no other aspect, the government is worried that the vast majority of healthcare workers are going to refuse the H1N1 swine flu vaccine. The vast majority of parents are going to refuse it. That means our message is getting out. People are realizing how dangerous government is in their lives.
Hey, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks very much, Joel. And we'll talk to you a week after next.
Are you tired of caffeinated or high-calorie beverages? Good Life International wants you to try GlycoTea. You'll be drinking the finest quality tea, providing you with such benefits as absorption of carbs and calories. Great for diabetics and aids you with weight loss. For pennies a day, you can boost your energy. For more information or to order GlycoTea, go to www.life26.4tgl.com or call 720-494-4663.
How well do you know the law? The situation calls for citizen's arrest. But proving your case seems to require a lawyer. What kind of proof do you need in court? The answer will surprise you. Back in a minute.
Discover America's truth. Citizen power creates freedom. Send for Hal von Lupert's Citizen Power series, Citizen Arrest, The Grand Jury, and Guerrilla Law, $27. Greeley, Colorado, P.O. Box 837. Citizen Power.
If you make a citizen's arrest, how is the suspect convicted? In the United States, courtroom proof is not materially different from common sense proof. Evidence may be a photograph, a tape recording, a witness who saw or heard what happened. Even remarks made during commission of the crime, although hearsay, are admissible in court. Proof, however, is the prosecutor's chore. To make citizen's arrest only requires probable cause.
In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 6 of the Bill of Rights.
Well, Dr. Stan back here. We hope you enjoy Joel Skousen, and every Friday we enjoy having him with us, and This is the time I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty, my ministry, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help, we'd love to hear from you. I want to remind you about our October 25th meeting here in the North Shore of Monterey Bay, where I live, and we're bringing in a great list of speakers. Dr. Colin Albrecht will be here, Will Grigg, Tom Horn, Ashley Moat from Great Britain, a member of the European Parliament. We're serving lunch. You're going to have reservations. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Want to mention a new product we're going to be carrying, something that I've wanted for a long period of time, and that is to have a lock box. Here in California, you can't have a loaded weapon in your house legally, so why bother to have a weapon at all if you can't have a loaded weapon? Well, you can have if you have a lock box, and these are lock boxes. They're called V-line lock boxes. They're convenient. They're easy to open. You can open them in just a moment if you know the code. And all you have to do is punch a couple of buttons, and out the box opens right up for you. And so we're carrying them. You can go to our website, radioliberty.com, and look for V-line lock boxes. It'd be a great Christmas present for the man who has everything. But also, I believe we are entering a period of violence. I believe the America we've known is going to soon cease to exist. We're moving into a period of chaos and crisis, and it behooves you to be able to protect your family. We shouldn't be out on the streets, with weapons, but we should be prepared to protect our family as the structure of society breaks down. If you're interested in getting a V-line lockbox, convenient and good quality, we're quite impressed by them, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a brochure, or soon you can go to our website, radioliberty.com, and there's a banner there you can click on, and you'll know more than I do about it. So then, of course, we hope you'll want to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or get the DVD, and if you don't want to put out the money, go ahead and go to our website, radioliberty.com, scroll down to videos, and then scroll through videos till you come to Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to see all of the various items that are listed there, and all of the videos, some of them are ones I've done, some of those that have been done at our conferences, but the information is valid. Read our newsletters, listen to our programs, which are listed on the Internet, and then help us get information out. I am more encouraged than any time than the 47 years I've been involved. People are waking up. People are not falling for the propaganda on the H1 vaccine. But we've got to get other people to understand that this is not only not necessary, but it's potentially dangerous because of the mercury in it. And then we never know what else they may have put in, because I don't trust the government. Do you trust the government? And if you don't trust the government, why would you take one of their vaccines when there is no threat from swine flu? It's a very mild disease. And it's already beginning, of course, to here in California. It's already peaked out and is on the decline, as it is up in certain areas of New England. It's sweeping across your area, within another week or two, the epidemic will be on the decline. They're not telling you that. The last thing they want you to know is the truth. They want you to take a vaccine, and I don't trust them. You? My number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty. And until Monday, may the Lord be with you.
Allstate Sweeping reminds parents in our listening area that over the summer, children who are out of school shouldn't be out of luck, hope, or guidance. For many troubled youth, the first step towards drugs and crime is having nothing better to do. Take your kids to the beach, park, or family center. It's the best weapon against delinquency, crime, and drug abuse. This message is from Allstate Sweeping. They're a concerned area business working toward drug-free communities for our youngsters. That's Allstate Sweeping, located at 10150 East.